let you get out there and try things out. I always had he'll let the chain, he'll get you like a dog on the end of the chain, he'll let you run so far, and then all of a sudden, if you're one of his, the slack is out of the chain there. I'm so glad and so thankful for that. Great testimony. Well, listen, for a few minutes, turn in your Bibles, if you would. This Baptist Men's Day Challenge is James chapter 1, James chapter 1 and verse 12. And the title of this is The Real Deal. I want to ask you this morning, men, and this is a men challenge to men, but it's also a challenge to all of us here, not just women. And who all's here? The real deal. Are you the real deal? That's a good question. And so I want to stand on our feet just right quick, and we'll read James chapter 1, if you found it now, James chapter 1 and verse 12, and we'll reverence the reading of God's Word by standing. The Word of God says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Father, for just a few minutes, be glorified. Touch our lives right where we are. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, you may be seated. How many of you, if I ask you this morning, you've got to be honest now, how many of you like a good deal? Raise your hand. We all do, don't we? We all like a good deal. We like. Here's the deal. Sandy and I, we like Goodwill stores. You like to go. Sandy used to run a consignment shop. You like to find those things that are a good bargain, don't you? We all do. But you learn very early on that the things that seem to be the best, if it's too good to be true, then what? Too good to be true. A lot of times, we'll hear that statement. It just seems too good to be true. I learned a long way. It has to do with all kinds of things, but furniture is what I want to think about this morning. Furniture. Now, I don't know about you. We like the bargains, right? You can go to Walmart and get a nice. When I'm dealing with a computer desk, right? I need a computer desk. You can go to Walmart and buy a pretty nice looking computer desk, can't you? You say, that's a good deal. That's a good bargain. And when you get to home, man, you got to put it together. Wow. It's like, dear Lord, can't anything come together anymore, right? And you don't look at the instructions until you absolutely have to, because we're men. But what is it usually made out of? Wood, but yeah, it looks like wood. Chip core is what it is, right? It's compressed wood chips. And they even put the little veneer around the side, don't they? They even put this cover where it don't show the chip core. And you find out, hey, you know what? That thing that looks so good, you know what happens in the day in and the day out usage? It tells just how good that it really is, don't it? And you find out that, you know, if you'd spend a little bit more and get real wood instead of chip core, it'll last a whole lot longer. Take that over into our spiritual lives when we're talking about how are we as being the real deal. Do we look pretty good on the outside, but maybe just chip core on the inside? Is there any solidness, any anchor? Are you the real deal, men, when it comes to serving Jesus? It's the day in, day out usage that proves it out. It's our day in, day out. When we get to the book of James, we don't just want to pick up on verse 12, but the context, but he's talking about trials, being tested in our faith in trials. And when we get to 12, it's really a summation of the last 11 verses. And he's talking about the various trials that come in our life. He tells us to seek wisdom when we need wisdom in trials, to ask God. He talks about these different trials. We'll see in a minute, he don't really list them, but he talks about poverty. He talks about prosperity. He talks about these things that can come into our life that can really test our faith. And he talks about a man that when he prays and asks to God, that if he's a double-minded man, he wavers, he's tossed to and fro, if you remember that. He's like the waves of the wind, he said. He's talking about a real deal man. He's talking about a real deal woman. He's talking about a real deal Christian and how to deal with life and what life throws at us and the trials that come. And so he's actually up in, if we go up to verse 2, we can see he mentions, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. He's already talking about those trials. And then when we get down to 12, he says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. I want us to think about four questions today dealing with the real deal. What is it principles that look like to be the real deal? And this is my first question when we read this scripture. What are the temptations? What are the temptations that he's talking about there? Blessed is the man who endures temptation. It's the same. Listen, we talked about count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Those same words, those are the same words, trials and temptation. The trials of verse 2 are the same word, a Greek word, in the temptations in verse 12. And so it's these various, many different kinds. I'm so glad it's generic. He don't list A, B, or C. Really, he does not do that. Why? I want you to know that the young people sitting here in this room have different trials than the older people do. It's tough being a young person in today's world. The peer pressures. Listen, their culture tells them to fit in when they know through the Scripture that it says, hey, be different. How tough is that to live that out? We should have a heart for our young people, and especially the youth and middle school, and as they grow up, the things and the burdens that they're under. Those are various and tough trials and temptations. How about the older, in the middle class, in the middle as we get older? What are some of the temptations, the trials that we go to? Well, I don't know about you, but some of them are the same thing as we go when we're young, or different trials, but there's also a lot of physical trials. As I get older, things start hurting. It's amazing. Like Donnie says, you feel bulletproof, but boy, you get up here a little ways, you know that you're not. You're full of bullet holes is what it feels like. I don't know about you, but I have what we call a furniture problem. My chest is falling into my drawers. Trials. Good preaching. Thanks a lot, Nate. Listen, trials. Temptations. Old to the young, we all have trials. We all have different temptations. We're different. You're unique. Just like the snowflake analogy. No two snowflakes are the same. No two people. 7.3 billion people in the world. Everybody's unique and different. God made you fearfully and wonderfully made. So you're going to have different trials, different struggles. And so he gives us this generic thing. But listen, there's all kinds of trials, but they're not uncommon. Listen to what 1 Peter 4:12 says. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though something strange has happened. It's not a strange thing. Trials are not something that we scratch our head. If the truth be known, we think opposite. We think the trials is something, hey, that comes from the devil. And sometimes they are from sin, but we think, hey, if we're living right, we shouldn't have any trials. How many people think that way? And how many of us fall into that trap? He says it's not uncommon. It's not uncommon. And it also, listen, is not a hindrance to our spiritual growth whatsoever. Does it hinder us from growing in the Lord? In fact, it's the very trials that helps us to grow. What are the temptations in the trials? They're many and they're different for each one of us sitting here today. The next question. What does it mean to endure those temptations in verse 12? Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Living through it. Not getting above. Living through it. There's something about pressing on. I want you to know something, young people, and I know that you buy in this. If we're not careful, and we all do, and even older people, we think about, as we come out of school, this is what we do. We go to school and we get that degree and we've got our lives all ahead of us, and we think that we face the mount. We want to be irrelevant. We want to make a difference. We all do. That's how we are, dear do. But we think really the only difference we can make is the top of the mountain, the pinnacle, the summit. And we want to get to the top when I want you to know something. The mountain is the ride, it's the trip. And it's living, and it's the temptations, and it's the trials that God gets us through, that when we reach the summit, and we won't reach it there, by the way, till Christ comes and or we go to be home with Him. But it's that work and getting through, and it's these trials, and it's that living. And what does it mean to endure? And James said, he didn't say in verse 2, if they come. He said, when they come, they'll come. And many of you have faced any trials in your life. And it's not about, let's run. It's easy to run. Don't like my job, change jobs. Don't like my marriage, change marriages. We don't like it. Don't like my church, change churches. It's easy to keep changing and keep, and we buy into this, that if we find this, no matter, hey, we need to hold on no matter how hard it might be. Hold on and press on. He's enduring the trials that he's speaking about here. Endure in the face of trial, and it's profitable. Not saying that it's easy. Not saying it's easy. But there's something about it. When we endure, we press on, and God is pleased. Trusting God to the end, to see him through. Next question. What is being approved? Verse 12. For when he has been approved. What does that mean? He stood the test that we were just speaking about, just like before. He stood through the storms. He's faced what's come his way in Jesus' name, and he's pressed through for his glory. 2 Timothy 2:15, and we know this as our Awana verse, don't we? Look, what does it say? Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Approved unto God means approved under testing. It's persevering through the trials. Today, listen, today you can go online, by the way. I can go online and get a master's degree. I can get a doctorate. I'm talking about not even have to go through the classes. All you got to do is throw the money in there. Look, you can hang it up on your wall. I'm serious. That's what they have today. You know what it is? Listen. It's the test. It's the labor. It's the work. You can throw it on your wall all you mean, but that does not mean you have a doctorate, right? I'm serious. But we want that in life. We want the degree. We want to go through it. Without the test, there is no graduation, okay? We don't like the test. We don't like it. But that is part of the plan. God's letting us know, hey, you know what? He perseveres. Listen, you know how pilots do in aeronautics, any kind of aeronautics, especially in space travel? They have simulators, don't they? You better be glad. You better hope your pilot's been through the simulator, right? And what it does, it puts him in these circumstances, and how do you handle it, right? He feels like he's in the real thing, but he's not. Christian life does not have a simulator. It's in real time, okay? I wish it did. Don't you? Let me face this situation. Let me get my simulator, see how. What choices should I make? Wouldn't that be nice? It doesn't work that way, does it? It's in real time, and we face things. Listen, it feels like constantly, don't it? You feel like you come out of one and say, oh, praise God, and there's another one waiting on you most of the time, isn't there? He says, face it with joy. Why? Because God, it does not catch God by surprise, anything that we're going through. If we're not careful, all we want to do is we want to have bliss and encouragement. And that's what we'll get hooked on, by the way. Nothing wrong with some happiness and encouragement. We should be that kind of people. But if that's all we got, if that's all we look for and that's all we live for, then it's become a chain to us. And it's wrong. God brings pain and in reality joy in order for us to be comforted in His Son. Andrew Murray, listen to what he says. This will help us when we face our trials. He says this is how to persevere through trials. First, understand that God brought me here. God brought me here. That'll help you face any trial. Second, God will help me, will keep me here in His love. God's with me in the trial. He'll keep me in His love. Third, God will make the trial a blessing. So how can a trial ever be a blessing? God can do that. And fourthly, God in His time will bring me out when and if He chooses. God. It's all God. Think God in the midst of our trials. The real deal faces life with God. The day in, day out usage tells if we're the real deal. The Puritans used to say, listen to what they say, providence is a soft pillow. Oh my goodness, please think about that. Providence is a soft pillow. You know what they're saying? saying? You can face anything if you're a child of God, knowing that you're in His hand. That pillow you lay down on at night, I hope you do. A lot of people, how could you not sleep without a pillow, right? We lay it because it's soft, and it makes us rest and relax. And so that's God's providence in your life. Understand that He's in control of all things. See you through any situation, knowing that He's in control. Providence is a soft pillow. Last question I want us to ask today. What is the crown of life? What is the crown? Blessed is the man who endures temptation, and for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Crowns appear in the Bible all over the place, and it's really a symbol of life and honor and dignity. The crown of life is a picture of eternal life that God's promised to His people. I'm going to ask you this. When do you receive eternal life? When do you receive eternal life? At the moment of your conversion. These guys that got up and they had those testimonies, and yes, you might not mark it down to an hour or a day. You just know that it happened. Why? Because you became a living, I'm talking about an eternal being to be with God forever. Eternal life. He promised that when we receive Christ as our Savior, we receive His forgiveness for our sins. We repent of our sins, eternal life comes with Him play. And so we see that it's the vindication that He's given us here when we enter into His presence in heaven. It's the fulfillment of that eternal life, that crown of life that He's speaking about. There's going to be a day when we leave this earth, whether Christ calls us, comes back, or we go to be with Him. There's going to be a day that you step into the presence of Almighty God. And that eternal life will become real to you then. But until then, we have the here and now to live it out before the Lord. He says, for those who love Him. Aren't you glad you didn't have to earn it? Aren't you glad Ed kept saying, hey, I felt like I had to change, I had to stop doing this. Aren't you glad that you can't do that? There's none of these things. I did that myself. I need to quit doing this, I need to quit doing that. You heard me say that. But yet, when I realized I couldn't, but He could, ooh, everything changed. Praise God. And we didn't earn it. He seeks us when we were not even loving Him. He loved us first. How is it that we express that we love Him? It's a life of obedience, day in, day out. Do not. This is not what we want. Listen, it's not what we want, but what He wants. Listen, whenever I told Sandy, this is my wife, my best friend, my girlfriend, I love her. Without her, I'm not much. If I told her, I love you, Sandy, which I tell you every day, don't I, baby? Multiple times. I love you. But, Sandy, I'm going to do what I want, when I want, with whoever I want. Is that love? Is that love? Is that how we love God? I love you, God, but you know what? I'm going to do whatever I want, whenever I want, with whoever I want. But I love you, God. How comical is that? Everybody chuckled. But how is that how we live our lives? Do I love Him? Is He? Am I a man as a man of the real deal? And the answer lies in your obedience. If you think about Peter, do you love Him? Remember, he met with Peter. They're out fishing. Now, I go fishing. Forget this. Jesus is gone. He's resurrected. Well, let's just go back to fishing. And didn't catch no fish. And Jesus is on the beach, if you remember, fixing them breakfast. He had all the fish he needed. Jesus did. And he gets with Peter and said, Peter, do you love me? How many times he asked him? Three times. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Each time, what'd he say? Feed my sheep. In other words, Peter, it ain't about doing your thing. It's about following me. You love me. Day in, day out, you're going to follow Him. That's being the real deal. Here's the deal. Does your wife and children know that you love God? Do they really know? What are they, if they really had to sit down and look at your life, what would they say that Daddy loves? Do they know that you love God? Do you love Him? When I stood before the preacher, and we got married, he didn't ask me how I felt. How do you feel, Dave, today? No, he said, to have and to hold, not to forsake, death do you part. And he didn't say, he wasn't looking for my answer to be, I guess so. It was, I do. You see, either you do or you don't. I guess so. I hope so. No. When we're married, we know it. When we love, we know it. When we're the real deal, we know it. And we show it. And we live it out every day. I want you to be the real deal. Hear Jesus saying, do you love me? Do you love me? Yes or no? It's in or out. Be a man that loves God. Be the real deal. Some applications will be done. Linda, come play. I ask you this morning. What's keeping you from being a God man? Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. What's keeping you from being a God man? I'm talking all in. Sold out. Don't have to look for you. Where's that? Like Adam said, or not Adam, but what Aaron said. He said, hey, I was on the golf course on Sunday morning. Well, how many of us make that excuse? Well, I can love God. I can just go out here and do whatever I want. Love God. That ain't what His Word says, is it? Said, hey, if you love me, you're going to follow me in obedience. What's keeping you from being a God man? I'm talking through and through, hold out, day in, day out, no chip core, not looking good, but really being a God man. What's keeping you from that? Two, how long will you hang on to the things of the world? You know what this world will offer you? Woo! Hey, you just do this, do that, and you'll be so happy. Why, you just work and labor and whatever your career is, you follow that, and you're supposed to be a man, and you take care of your family, and it'll feed you all kinds of garbage, and you are, but never superseding the things of God. Never. Never. Jesus should come first. If you're ever going to love your wife and kids the way you're supposed to, you got to love Jesus first. You want to be a God man? You better have Jesus right in your life. Last thing. Are you the real deal? Let's stand to our feet. Brian's going to come sing. Are you the real deal this morning? Let me ask you this. Do you know you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you know that you're saved? Oh, I guess so, remember? Oh, I hope so. The Bible says you can know so. Ain't no hoping. Ain't no guessing. You can know so. Does your life play out? Are you the real deal this morning? Did your kids know that you love Jesus more than anything? Whatever. However the Lord's spoken to you today, you answer Him. I'd like to see some men come up here. Ask God just to help them. Let the pride go. Let the pride go and just help them. Help me, Lord, to live out what it is that You want me to live out, Lord. Help me to be that man that You've called me to be. Whatever He says to you, follow Him in obedience. Brian.
Can you hear my Savior calling? I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me.
about you today. What's the Lord saying to you? Don't leave here and not be obedient to the Lord. Be the real deal. Purpose in your heart. This day forward, I'm going to be the real deal. I'm not going to just say it and play it. I'm going to live it day in, day out. I'm going to play a little more. You need to be saved. Man, this will be the day. Give it to the Lord. You might be struggling. Who knows what you're struggling with? You say, well, I've got to get this. No, you don't have to get anything right. You just come to the Lord. He'll get everything straightened out. I promise you that.
David asked me to make this announcement in front of everybody so that I make it one time and everybody hears. It's not an easy thing to say. God has been doing some really great things in my life lately. I know lots of you have been praying with me for me to get a teaching position, and I finally got a position. It's at a daycare, not at a school, not exactly what I was thinking I wanted, but I think it's where God wants me to be right now. And I'm very happy. I love it. The kids are really sweet. I'm working with 3- and 4-year-olds. The only thing is it's on the complete other side of the county, which is crazy. I'm driving 35 minutes every day to get to work. But God worked that out too, and I'm going to rent a house that's only 10 minutes away from my new job, and everything fell into place and worked out, and it's wonderful, and it's really exciting. But my new house will be an hour away from here. And I've been really struggling with this, but I feel like I don't think I can give of myself what I need to be your music director and be an hour away. So next couple of weeks, whenever I move, I'm not going to be music director anymore. But you guys are still my family, and I love you, and this is always going to be home. It just won't be that I'm up here anymore.
Give her a hand, yeah. Next Sunday morning, after services, we'll have a meal just to say thank you. Brittany served 6+ years as the music director here and giving herself, and we all love her. Definitely want to tell her today that we appreciate her. And so the chicken will be provided, and then we'll bring things. And so plan on that next Sunday morning, right? We won't have evening service, so it's 5th Sunday. But we'll have a meal, and so everybody plan on bringing some fixings, and us just telling her that we love her and appreciate all that she's done. So we'll do that next Sunday morning, okay? Let's do that. Let's end in prayer, and we've had a good day. That's not an easy thing. It's not a good thing to hear, but I appreciate Brittany following the Lord in obedience. She's following the Lord in obedience. And that's not an easy thing. Sometimes it calls for things like that. And so I appreciate her following the Lord in obedience. And I appreciate all you guys. I love you. Come back tonight, 6 o'clock. We're going to have a great time. Remember, gospel-shaped worship. And so come on back. Donnie closes in prayer. Sandy? Yeah, Secret Sisters. Don't forget, Secret Sisters meet up front afterwards. So Donnie closes in prayer, if you would.